Blog Talk Radio.
Praise your holy and majestic name. God is good. I was kind of running around, and then they played this song, Trust in God, Trust in God. Sometimes the low may feel that your life is falling apart and coming undone, but just look up. Tomorrow's sun will let you know your life is not done. I'm telling you, God is good all the time. As the song said in my other show, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. If God can save me, he can save you. And I mean, this is the most important thing, to have salvation, to be a part of the kingdom. But that is kind of, if you will, down the road when time comes that God calls us home. But right now, the salvation of right now, as he said he would give us long life and show us his salvation. The right now is so important. It's so important to walk in this salvation, to begin to grow and mature in God's word. I am excited because he tells us, he that trusts in he will give him perfect peace, that spiritual mature peace that surpasses all understanding. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome to FM, AM, For Me and About Me, where we come together to share the knowledge, wisdom of God's word that will enhance us to strive towards that mark of perfection that I'm talking about as men, that spiritual maturity. Yes. What is a man? A man is a man of God. That's what the Holy Spirit showed me the other day when I was driving. I went through a light and had to text it down. A man of God. That's when you become a man. That's when you become a man. Because all the things of the old man, that's what it's about, those childish ways, the childish attitude, that childish behavior, it gets pushed to the side. And you begin to move in a direction towards your destiny, what God called you to do. But you can't get there unless you be willing to take this key that I'm offering, this key that opens the door to opportunity that you cannot even imagine. As I said just a moment ago, who saved a wretch like me, someone who just was developed in the streets, molded, manipulated, governed in the streets. And I embraced it wholeheartedly because that's what I thought a man was supposed to move towards. But the reality of it is that I was missing out. And even when I got saved, I still was blinded. But I like to use the analogy of a goblet, and the goblet has poison in it. This is me. But then there's this endless water that just keeps on pouring, and it merges into the goblet. And if you look at that goblet, you use your imagination, you see the two start to blend. But because the endless water keeps coming, see, God never leaves or forsakes us. God has never abandoned us. God's word continues to flow and flow and flow and flow. All you start to notice that the pour of the wine and the press and the spiritual powerful water that God is pouring in us is making that change, that's overflowing. But as the endless water continues to flow, the poison's going out too. And then one day it's just purified water. Now I know that time will be when we be with Jesus. But while we walk the earth, we can dilute that poison. We can change that poison that's been distorted, but we have to be willing to walk through that door to this golden opportunity of salvation. For those who have not accepted Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, it's a simple process. God understood it shouldn't have to be complicated, as men like to make things complicated for their ego, but God keeps it simple. You confess with your mouth. You let the world know that you have no shame about letting them know that, hey, I'm turning my life over to God. Remember, it's a process. And as you let them know through your voice, you believe it in your heart. And as you believe it in your heart, yes, your body's going to resist. The spirit is going to wage war with the flesh. But you believe it in your heart. You trust God with all your mind, heart, and soul. And when you do that, the transformation begins. And now you are saved. And see, when you get saved, he begins to show us more of his salvation. And as we live and mature, we grow stronger in him. And as we grow stronger in him, we seem to want to get nearer to him. And as we get nearer to him, he gets nearer to us. So this is the thing we want to do. So I pray for those who may be on the line who haven't accepted Christ, or even they're like the prodigal son and turn their back on him, that you come on back home. Because God has got open arms waiting for you. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy and grace, and forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future. We know that we may miss the mark, but we know we're not going to be sinless, but we're going to strive to be sinning less. Because we want to get closer to you. We don't want the things that's going to impede us from our maturity and growth. But like Peter, Father God, when he let the cares of the world or the storms distract him, we may fall into that. But we always know, Father God, that you will reach your hand down. And if we can look up and see your hand reaching down us, we can get pulled up out of the storm. So I thank you, Father God. I pray for everyone on this line. I pray for those that are not. I pray for the world, the country, the states, the city, the community, the neighborhood, the family, and every individual born and yet born. That they come into the world, and when they're in the world, Father God, they accept you. And they begin the process of developing. And I specifically target men right now, Father God. Oh, Father God, there's a pandemic of our men, Father God, falling by the wayside. I'm praying, Father God, right now that our men open their eyes to see your truth, your way, and the life you provide. I'm praying right now, Father God, that as our women are moving forward, our men are moving back. But I'm telling you, Father God, we're going to reach out for them and pull them back. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, you help us as men to grow, to develop and become spiritually mature. So when people see us, they know that we're men because we're men of you, God. I thank you, Father God. Help us to have a mind to want to receive. Help us have a heart to believe. And help us have the willingness through our free will to follow your will through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. I pray right now, Father God, for everyone, though. I pray for everyone, Father God, that you bless them in all these quadrants. You bless them, Father God, physically, that they may be the host, Father God, that carries them spiritually, and their spirit will continue to grow, Father God, and emotionally, that they will keep emotional check on those emotions that distract them or pull them away. And that, Father God, mentally, they are prepared, Father God, because Satan comes to work within the battlefield of the mind. But, Father God, when we align ourselves with the mind and heart of Christ, Father God, we move in your direction. And when we move in your direction, you will give us the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding and the ability of discernment to walk the way you want us to walk, talk the way you want us to talk, stand the way you want us to stand, and be the man that you intended us to be. I thank you, Father God. So as I go forward, Father God, again, I pray for anyone, Father God, who is in sickness. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Upon him was the chastisement, the punishment we should have got was upon him, Father God. But by those 39 stripes that cover every disease known to man, we are healed. We plead the blood right now over everyone, that every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, system, not only will operate in healthy line condition in the way you intended it, but Father God, it will be preserved because it's been doing by your hands of love. Thank you, Father God. If anyone is in financial dire strait right now, Father God, let them recognize, Father God, that you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That the windows of heaven blessed will call blessings upon them. They wouldn't have room enough to contain it. But Father God, not to hoard it, not to turn the blessings into possessions, but to, Father God, be willing to give it away. Give it away that others will recognize that Jesus went to heal some, so they needed a visual because their faith wasn't there. We will be giving it away as men, Father God, blessing people because they want to know what kind of God you got. What kind of man is this that would give it away when we're giving it away because we got so much coming? I pray for this right now, Father God. I thank you that socially our world is going in a direction, Father God, that is very confusing and appearing to me to be in self-destruction mode. But I thank you, Jesus, you sent your word to heal us, heal the land, heal the mind, heal the spirit, heal the body, Father God, and redeem us from our life of destruction. I thank you for this right now. I pray for families right now, Father God. Bless the family to come back together. Fathers to the sons to the fathers, sons to the mother to the sons, daughters to the mother to the son, to the daughters. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for unity. I pray for connection. I pray for communication. I pray that this bond begins with family, a family that is connected, that prays together, stays together, and move in the direction towards their destiny. I pray for them right now. Father God, I know families are so disconnected because of all these things that we have, we call convenience and luxuries, have now become somewhat of our curse. But I ask for the freedom that you give, because when you set them free, we are set free indeed. So, Father, as I go forward, let me, David, decrease, and let the Holy Spirit increase in me as I begin to share this knowledge and wisdom that you have imparted upon me. And let every word that is spoken, Father God, touch the heart and the spirit, that it would move them towards the change of changing towards you. I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayers. I thank you for listening to my prayer. And I thank you that every prayer that I put forward, Father God, will not fall into the path where the birds will get it. It will not fall into the rocks and not take root. It will not fall into the thorns and the cares of life will choke him. But it fall into your good soul, the soil, Father God, that produces the 40, 60, 80, 100-fold return. And when your return comes, it don't return void, but a confidence. That's what has been sent. I claim it with full authority, because Jesus said, it is written, it is so. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, I'm excited, as always, to be able to come forward. This has been a day where others are giving me credit and accolades and nice kind words and supporting words, uplifting words, motivating words to keep me moving forward when I feel overwhelmed, attacked, because, again, I'm burning up to 86,400 seconds a day. But God seems to send someone to give me that word of encouragement to guide me. So I recognize the power, as Paul shared with Timothy. He did not give me the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind to do his will. And in other words, that I would live and declare the works of the Lord. I thank you, God. I know I'm not 24/7 in it yet, but I'm hoping one day to be that way. That 24/7, my mind is on him. But as I go forward, I thank God that it iron sharpening iron. I'm being recharged, rejuvenated, because people are sharing with me the work that I'm doing, and they're letting me know that I'm on the right track. I am not good with compliments. I'm learning good with compliments or receiving things. Just in some way of my thinking, I guess, it always made me afraid that one day I'll get too pride-minded or get haughty or see myself bigger than I ought to be. I never wanted to be there, even as a child. I always tried to keep it low. But I'm learning to understand, as I was talking to the elder today, that God sends people your way that in order to keep you going, keep you in the race. As a runner is out in a marathon, there are people on the side cheering them on. There's people giving water and towels. It keeps them in the race because the body is hurt and the mind is hurt. Man, I should quit. I should quit. This is too much. Man, I'm overwhelmed. What am I doing? But there are God's people. God's people who were encouraged. But here's what I want to say to us men. We got to drop that pride, that pseudo pride that gets in the way for us being able to be open like a sponge and receive what we need in order to keep moving in the right direction. See, we're so quick to listen to the nonsense that draws us away. We're missing out on the guidance that's come to us to keep us in the race every day. Thank God. So the quote for the day is, destiny is not a matter of chance. It is a matter of choice. It is not a thing to be waited for. It is a thing to be achieved. William Jennings Bryan. Love is our true destiny. We do not find meaning of life by ourselves alone. We find it with another. God said it wasn't good for man to be alone. We got to work together, men. Thomas Merton. I have always believed and still believe that whatever good or bad fortune may come our way, we can always give it meaning and transform it into something of value. Hallelujah. This is so true. Herman Hesse. This is so true. No matter what we go through, there's lessons to be learned. In the military, we always do three up and three down. The objective was to see what is the lessons learned, what we should sustain, what we should change, and what we should throw away. Because everything we experience is supposed to teach us something. We can see that just from the Bible itself. God passed the knowledge on through the 12 disciples in order that, and others, in order for us to be able to have this knowledge of the experiences there. The whole Bible is about experiences. People's good experience, bad experience, highs and lows, challenges, letdown, disappointment, poor decisions. This is what it's about. It's about lessons learned. This is how we get changed. As we learn from the experience directly or vicariously, we begin to mature in God's work as spiritual mature men. To transform yourself is to transform your destiny. You can either go down the direction that's leading you to hell in a handbasket, or you can go down the path that may be narrow, but at the end of the day, it is straight, and it leads you to where God intended you to be. The choice is yours. The best years of your life are the ones in which you decide your problems are your own. You not blame them on your mother, ecology, or the president. You realize that you control your own destiny. Albert Ellis. Now, we know God is in charge of everything, but we have a free will, the power of choice. We can choose to follow the path that leads us in the direction towards God, or we can go the other way. But the scripture tells us in 1 Peter, and I'm going to do two, one from King James and one from this, I just discovered this, actually, the Passion Translation. Interesting. 1 Peter 1:2, you are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's Holy One, obedient follower, and Jesus Christ, who have been gloriously sprinkled with his blood. May God delight grace and peace cascade over you many times over. That's the Passion Translation. The King James Version says, elect according to the forth knowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And I'm sharing these two because when I discovered this, it just gave a different twist. But, man, it was so powerful because it gave a clearer picture in some ways. And hallelujah. The next one is out of Romans 8:30, the Passion Translation. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, he calls us to himself and transfers his perfect righteousness to everyone he calls. And to those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorifies with his son. The King James Version said, moreover, whom he did predestine, them also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. Hallelujah. And then in Acts 20:24, but whether I live or die is not important, for I know I don't esteem my life as indispensable. It is more important for me to fulfill my destiny and to finish the ministry my Lord Jesus has assigned to me, which is to faithfully preach the wonderful news of God's grace. King James Version. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. And then Acts 26:16. Get up and stand to your feet, for I have appeared to you to reveal your destiny and to commission you as my assistant. You will be a witness to what you have seen and to the things I reveal whenever I appear to you. King James Version. But rise and stand up to thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which I now have sent, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. God has already predestined us long before we come out the womb for the plan he has for our life. This is so important because we are here for a purpose. So let me share a story or two as we move forward. Destiny. Once there was a tyrant, an arrogant king somewhere in the mid-Europe. He was so arrogant and suspicious that he cannot accept even the slightest praise of anyone other than him. In his kingdom, somewhere in a small village, there was a priest, a sage, who ministered, whose admiration was spreading like wildfire due to his kindness and wisdom. He not only cured the disease of the villagers, but he also gave wise answers to all their inquiries. Soon, people from all over the kingdom started visiting him to this small hut outside the village. The news of his increasing public acceptance and appreciation shortly reached to the arrogant king by the law minister. The king crafted a sinister plan to defame him by proving him unwise in front of the public. So he sent his guard to send him an invitation to the priest. On this decisive day, the priest came with a peaceful smile as he usually shows up. The king was told that the priest is so wise that he answers all questions rightly. So the king planned to ask the questions that the priest cannot answer correctly. So he took the pirate and he hid him in a dark cloth bag. And when the priest came into the court, he asked, while holding the neck of the pirate in his cloth bag, tell me, said the king, what do I have in my hand? You hold a bird inside the bag, replied the priest. Is he alive or is he dead? Tell me if you are truly wise, king asked his second question. King's plan was that if the priest said that the bird is alive, he would crush the neck of the bird and put out the dead bird. And if the priest said the bird was dead, he would pull out the live bird and win in both situations. So he looked over at the priest and he said, well, it is in your hand. You decide it, replied the priest. You see, the priest understood that he had the power of choice. And whatever the outcome would be, it would be his destiny. You see, Peter Drucker said, the very best way to predict the future is to create it. So now I want to share another story about finding your own destiny. Once five men were caught in a thick forest. The first man said, I will go left because my intuition says so. The second one said, I will go right because the right one comes from the right. Right comes from the word righteousness. The third one said, I will go back the way we came. The fourth one said, I will go straight. We should move forward. The forest will end, and we will go somewhere new. The fifth one said, you are all wrong. There's a better solution. Wait for me. He climbed to the tallest tree he could find while everyone else went their own way. From above, he saw the shortest way to the exit. He could also see the order in which the others would exit. He understood the problem and found the best solution. He knew that everything was, he knew that he did everything right. The others were wrong. They were stubborn and didn't want to listen to him. He was the real wise man, but he was wrong. Everyone was right. They were all wise. The man that went to the left himself in the thicket, he had strive and fight. He had to strive and fight wild animals, but he learned how to survive in the forest. He became a part of the forest and could teach others the same. The man who went to the right was robbed of everything, was forced to join them. After some time, he remained the thief. He reminded the thieves of something they had forgotten: humility and compassion. The man who went back created a trail through the forest which would become a road for those who wanted to enjoy the forest without the fear of getting lost. And the man that went straight became a pioneer. He went places where nobody else had been before and created new opportunities for others. And the man who climbed the tree became a guide. People turned to him when they wanted to find the most efficient way to deal with their problems. These five wise men created their destiny by listening to their intuition. We would say the Holy Spirit. You can create your own path. You just have to listen to yourself, and you will find your destiny. And now I will spin that a little bit and say we listen to the Holy Spirit, and he will lead us to our destiny. You see, there are many choices in life that we can make. Decisions that leads us in many directions. However, the best way to move towards our destiny is to be led by the Holy Spirit. In man's hand, our destiny can either be a blessing or a curse. But in God's righteous right hand, he will hold us up to the promise that he predestined us before we were even born. We just have to be quick to listen, trust his guidance through the Holy Spirit, ready to act in faith. And when destiny comes knocking at the door, for one day it will come knocking, all we have to do is believe and be ready to receive our instruction. That leads us to the latter part of our four-part series. How can we assist other men to be delivered, developed, directed towards their destiny through discipleship? As I said, it's time to bring a closure to this series. We spoke about the four key aspects of we spoke about the four key aspects of us as men assisting men in being delivered, being developed, being directed towards each of our destiny. We started these sessions with the fact that we needed to get an understanding of the importance of being delivered. Well, we as men have to acknowledge and accept the reality that we even need deliverance from the old man. If we don't take time to recognize that, we already defeated. See, this is what happens to a lot of men who once I was talking to an elder today, and she's taking care of her former husband, and she said they went to church together, they fellowshiped together, but life started to spin. The cares of life begin to choke him out. So he said, don't pray for me, don't be bringing that godly stuff to me, I ain't trying to hear none of that. He became angry. He allowed his emotions to take over because of the disappointments that Jesus had already told us at some point in some time these things would happen, even death. Even he told them, I won't be with you long. But we as men sometimes become so caught up in our pride, we lose sight of the reality that Jesus' truth is the way that we should follow. So we turn our back. But that hurts us because we cannot be delivered unless we don't recognize that we need to be delivered. But this can only be done through the Holy Spirit, helping us to begin to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. When we have to let go of the many strongholds that limits us and keeps us from moving forward on our spiritual journey with Christ. You see, the scripture tells us in Romans 12:1-2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice. You got to step up. You got to present yourself. You got to let go. He who loses life gains his life. You got to let go. You got to recognize you need deliverance. You need it. There's no heroes here. It's about us recognizing we need to be set free. Because we don't have the solution. God does. He says, holy and acceptable God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. We already been conformed. Now we got to be transformed. See, right out the gate, many of us, more than likely, have been conformed to the world's way of thinking. I know I was. And for the most part, the circle of the world that I'm exposed to and the people I've met, in talking with them, I recognize they too were conformed to this world. And some still are. But this transformation that he talks about, by the renewing our mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Once we recognize the will of God through this deliverance, we begin to move towards becoming those mature spiritual men. I suggest that there are many factors contribute to us being stuck or stubborn in our thinking and attitude, which in the end would constitute the noted behavior that leads us to the opposite direction of God's plan for our life. And one main thing was the variation of fears that, if not checked, would cause us to get to a point unconsciously of displaying behaviors that would not help us in the long run to prosper, but only lead us down the road of self-destruction. In Psalm, it tells us that it was one of the benefits that he said God would deliver us from our destruction. And in Psalms, I think it's 107:20, where it tells us that God sent his word to heal us and redeem us from our destruction. See, we're destroying ourselves. We like to blame it on God. Well, if God was a loving God, God was a caring God, he wouldn't let this happen. God gave you a free will to make decisions. It's time out. I said earlier through the quote, it's time out for passing the blame on everybody else. Sometimes we have to just look at ourselves, look at the man in the mirror, start with the man in the mirror, and stop being a child, thinking as a child. I'm not talking literally a physical child, but in the sense of the spiritual lack of maturity that we have, we need to let that go so we can mature and become men. As he said, in the end, I thought like a child, but then when I put away childish ways, I became a man. So we need to do it. But sometimes it's very difficult because there's certain fears that get in our mind that control our emotions and impede our spiritual growth that governs our physical behavior. I was in the barbershop today and they were talking about the change in the behavior, not just kids, because I'm an adrenaline junkie too. But this reckless driving and all these things. Now, again, I'm not judging the people. I'm looking at the behavior because I understand that it's not about judging the person. It's about looking at the behavior and what's driving the person. What's inside of a man come out of a man. So if you got nothing but trash in, nothing but trash is coming out. You got nothing but misguidance, you're nothing but misguided behavior is going to be displayed. So we have to look at this, and a lot of this is based on these fears that has been created, fear of death, fear of life, expectation from others. This is tough because we all in the position. I used to always say when I was a kid, I didn't like sports that were team sports in the interim because it was always competition and comparison. Always competition and comparison. You ain't tall enough. You ain't fast enough. You can't shoot good enough. It was always this. And people wasn't getting paid a slug, but they had this pseudo pride, mostly boys and we out there playing with, this pseudo pride that these expectations would make people's self-esteem and self-worth be so put down that they lose sight of who they are. So they switch it over to something else. Fear of moving forward and backward in life, or looking back in life, if you will. Fear of aging. Then so many people, we get a lot of guys my age and older trying to date young gals that's half their age and just getting played. Getting played. But they don't want to age. But that's a natural part of the life process. I have a friend that always on my case about, well, you man, why you date people your age and blah, blah, blah. But I say, because that's appropriate for me. That's appropriate for me. When I was 20, 20 was good with another 20-year-old. But at 63, that's not my interest. And again, I'm not judging. But again, that part of that is these fears. See, these fears are so powerful. Again, there are two forms of fear. There's terror fear and respected fear. We should always have a respected fear. There's a respected fear, a reverence fear of God. But that terror fear, oh, my God, things that we got to check that. Fear of relationships. Many men don't want to get in a relationship because of their past hurt. And it's the same with women, too. But we have to recognize that comes with the turf. I ain't never seen a football player get hit by a lineman and then feel some pain. You want to be in the game, you got to be willing to get hit. You got to be willing to be hit because this is the body you in. Fear of God. Fear of confrontation. We don't want to say things when we know that it's the right thing to do and say, but we don't want the confrontation. Fear of trust. People lose trust quickly because they get disappointed. But as I said the other day to the elders, I said, you know what? These behaviors that we see are just a reflection of ourselves, because at some point in some time, we may display that behavior as well. So if we want people to trust us, we got to trust them. And we got to allow to learn how to love people, learn the imperfect perfectly. We have to learn that. Fear transition. Fear the unknown. I ain't doing that. The graves is filled with people who had talents, gifts, and ability, like the three men that were given the talent, and the one put his under the ground. He was afraid to step out in faith. Fear reaching your potential because the responsibilities that come on you when you start doing what you got to do, some people are going to drop off. I just got a text that we ain't heard from you in a while, but I'm moving forward. And it hurt me when the message came. But I thought to myself, my old me, oh, I better go over there. Oh, I better do this because I don't want them to think this or that of me. But I'm moving towards my destiny. And with that price, as I told my mom one time, I said, you don't see no Michelle Obamas and no Barack Obamas because they stay home. They sit in the basement. They play video games. They smoke weed. They get high. They don't become the president of the United States. They don't reach their potential by doing that. They do it because they're willing to let go of the old man to move to the new man, the destiny that God had intended for them. And then all the right elements will come into play. Fear success. Some people don't want the responsibility. So there's so many fears that are out there. But let me tell you what Timothy 1:7-8:11 said. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Romans 8:11 tells us, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. It will give you life, make your body alive by the spirit that dwells in you. Greater is he that's in you that's in the world. Once he's in you, you're able to move forward if you're willing. If you're willing. If you're willing. You see, therefore we have to overcome these fear, our childish thoughts and behavior, to become spiritually mature men, image bearers of Christ. See, when we become the image bearer of Christ, we become men of God. Now you are a man. Now you are a man. Thus our goal is to follow Christ in order that we move towards our purpose, towards being delivered. Then the next step that is required for us is that we spiritually develop. No man can build spiritual muscle that is strong enough to overcome the afflictions and the challenges that Satan's going to bring upon us. Believe me, it's coming. It's coming. And I've seen it. It's coming. That's what he do. He even had conversations with God. What are you doing? Roaming to and fro. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Oh, he coming. That's his job. Now, why is it that he's so good at his job and we so lax in ours? What's wrong with that picture? You see, John 10:10 tells us, the thief coming only to steal, kill, and destroy. Thank God, said Christ, said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, he brings the life of abundance that we need. But that abundance, as I always like to say, is not okay. You're going to live in a million-dollar home. You're going to drive Ferraris and Testarossas and all these things like that. No, no, no. They're good. They're just possessions. But that abundance is that maturity, that growth. My granddaddy always said the greatest thing in life is peace of mind. That peace that comes with knowing God is going to help us to be the men we need to be, because if we move into our destiny, we need to have a sense of internal peace. Because once you have a sense of internal peace, the external factors don't control your internal stability. It's wake-up call, men. It's wake-up call. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I had a prayer line. A friend called me up and said, would you do my prayer line because he was out of town. I said, no problem. So it was from 6 to 7. Not one call came in. I diligently waited. Not one call. You see, something's wrong with that picture. But now on my other prayer course, I got mostly women. Today was our a prayer call for, we call it Miracle Thursday. I had more women than only one man. Only one man. One man. I know it's early, 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, this was 6 in the evening yesterday. What's wrong with that picture? See, we can't change things. We can't move things if we don't do anything. You see, this is a spiritual war. See, 1 Corinthians 10:1-5 said, now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present, am lowly among you. But being absent, I'm bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and thought, and every high thing to try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring to every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Hello, this thing called Satan is in our head trying to distract us, redirect us, pull us away, keep our flesh waging war with the Spirit. But I just said earlier, the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead now lives in you. And because it lives in you, we should be waging war against him. See, we should be preparing ourselves. You see, our thoughts, that when we line, when they're lying and harbored with negative emotions that stems from our old man, this is where we allow Satan to play havoc on our brain, which at some point, at some time, will govern our behavior. It's just a train wreck waiting to happen. Therefore, getting the right spiritual development by being spiritually fed and conditioned for the assignment that we are all called to do as men is important. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, it will not depart from him. Now, I'm not talking about physical children. I'm talking about spiritual children. Train them. Prepare them. Therefore, once we have been delivered and have become more a feeding ground for God to plant the right seed of his word in us, then the cultivated, motivated that comes from Jesus Christ, the vine, begins to nurture the branch to produce the fruits of the Spirit in us. That along with the armor of God, we begin to appear like soldiers in God's army, ready for battle. Ready for battle. That's what we do with our soldiers in basic training. You see, I mentioned before in 2 Timothy 2:15, that we must do our best to present ourselves to God as one who is at work, who have not be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So therefore, we must do our best. We must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, Matthew 5:48. But in this temporary flesh, in the fallen world, we might slip on occasion. But if so, we must repent, get back on the narrow path. But we are charged to do our best. Then secondly, we must present ourselves to God as one approved. Then we must give our best effort to live up to the standard of approval that our Father has given us. He has chosen to make us righteous. It is right to seek to live unto God as a result of the Holy Spirit he's given us. We must strive to do this. Strive. God gave us an out when he said he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. I'm saying I'm giving, here's an out for us as well. We should strive. You're not going to hit the mark every time. There's very few, I've seen movies where they had a guy called Bullseye. He never missed. Well, I've seen a lot of guys, and I'm pretty good with weapons myself, and I'm pretty efficient at a lot of them. But I don't always hit the target. But I strive. I strive. Then we need to be a worker who does not need to be ashamed. We must never be ashamed of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, because if we are ashamed of Christ, he will be ashamed of us. And this is truly makes every effort in vain, because he will put us to shame. Thus we must be like John the Baptist, David, Stephen, Paul, Peter, and all the Hall of Faithers that stand up for Christ with boldness and conviction as we develop in our walk towards our destiny. Then we must handle the word of truth correctly. It can also simply mean handling the word of truth is to understand the truth and live accordingly. The opposite would be to know the truth but fail to live up to it, betraying our lack of true belief. But with something we should strive hard not to do. I truly believe that when we begin to realize that right and wrong is more a man's way of judgment about what is true, but personally getting to gain understanding, for me, is the way truly of God's truth. As I like to say, I don't judge to criticize you. I judge to understand, to make the wise judgment why you do what you do or why I do what I do. Once I gain understanding, I can make a wiser decision. I think I told a story about a couple, and they both wanted to go on this date, and both were upset at the other because they felt one was being selfish. Come on, we should go ahead and go there. And in the end, they found out that they both had the same intention, to show love to one another. But they didn't get that until they got to talking and got understanding. You see, my brother, too long we've been bent on the ideal of right and wrong, but this mindset distracts us from getting the truth, which will set us free. Because once we got understanding, we have a better chance of moving in the most appropriate direction that God has for us to move towards our destiny. Then the next piece towards us as men is moving towards us is getting the direction that is lined with God's word, the Holy Spirit, from which those who provide us the appropriate training and give us who's been given certain gifts and the talents to guide us towards our destiny. You see, the word tells us that direction is important. In Psalms 32, 8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will give you counsel I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. God is telling us that he will not only give us direction and instruction on which way to go, but he will teach us and counsel us. 2 Timothy 2:14 tells us, though the power of the Holy Spirit lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. We must guard it. We must guard it like it's diamonds, like it's a Fort Knox. There was a time when the money was in Fort Knox. It's not there now. There was a time Fort Knox was so tight a molecule couldn't slip in there because it was being protected. That's the attitude we must guard. The 2 Timothy 1:6-7 say, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. We must guard it all the time. In a conversation with Luke and Paul, Paul shared with Luke what love was. This is so essential. Because we must recognize the power of love. And I always like to look at 4:8. He tells us that love is patient and kind. It does not envy, it's not boastful, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always preserves. Love never fails. But check this out. He says, but where there is prosperity, this will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we who prosper in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part will disappear. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in the mirror, then we shall see the face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them all is love. You see, my brother, it is essential that everything we do is done in love. Paul informed us that in his directions and guidance, that no matter how much we accomplish in the world, no matter how much recognition we receive, if we don't have the foundation of love, then being delivered, being developed, won't matter if we don't follow the direction of our love, because it is the greatest power that means everything. Why? Because God is love. God showed us love. God saved us with love. God, because the love of God is leading us towards our destiny, because God is love. So it's so essential that we wake up every day and recognize the power of love. And now last is the destiny, a certain fortune of fate. This is what it comes down to. We are all here for a reason and a purpose. Rick Warren would say we must have a purpose-driven life. Ephesians 1:11 tells us, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worked all things according to the counsel of his will. A second type of this is that before we were born, he gave us our destiny that would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplished every purpose and plan in his heart. Now, the actual word destiny is not in the Bible. But being predestined, you can kind of flip it a little bit. And in Luke 22:42, it says, Father, if thou will, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus is saying this. Jesus understood what he was predestined to do. And when the flesh tried to tell him something different, he doesn't say, well, okay, this could pass, because that's the flesh talk. But the Spirit rose up and put it back in line with God's will, not his will. We all should be moving to God's will, not our own. I found that when we operate under our own limited knowledge and wisdom, it seems to be, in many cases, it leads us down the path of self-destruction and defeat. We see this all the time. People who reach great heights in the world, men who reach great heights, and they brought down. Just recently, the New York, I think he's the mayor, brought down. We've seen stars, Cosby, brought down. We've seen Weinstein brought down because he's led by his own knowledge. But let me tell you what happens when you follow your own knowledge. Proverbs 12:15 say, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 26:12 say, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for the fool than for him. When we continue to move on our premise, our ideals, our wants and desires, our self-seeking behavior, we're leading down a path that's going to truly move us towards defeat. The goal of this whole series is to move us towards our godly destiny. See, Jesus prepared his disciples. Paul prepared Luke and Timothy. God prepared Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, David to move towards their God-given destiny as they were predestined. Thus, as men, we need to be that iron that sharpens iron. We need to be that encourager, that motivator, that teacher and leader for each man to help him move towards his destiny. We need to be that. You upset with the young people out here? Well, where's their models? Where's their role models? Where's their teachers? Where's their cultivator, motivator? Where's their inspirator? Where are they at? Are they the ones that sell the drugs? Are they the ones that got the bling bling? Are they ones at the strip club? I've been to all them places. And it was all an illusion. It was all a lie. You making so much. I was making so much money, it was crazy. It was all a lie. All a lie. But that's what he do. Why I know this? Because he offered to Jesus in the wilderness. I'll give you all this. The illusion. He's the great illusionist. The illusion to make you think something is real. I think I heard the old saying, the greatest trick the devil did make you believe he don't exist. But oh, he is. So we need to wake up. We need to wake up. Yes, as men, we need to always be students and be in student and servant mode, because in these roles is where the development begins, and if we are wise, it will never end. Thus, as I like to say about myself, I'm always in student mode, ready to grow. I'm always in servant mode, ready to show, and always ready to lead as a person as God tells me to go. So I know that when God tells me to go through the Holy Spirit, it will be the truth, it will be the way, and it will be the right way of living this life. Why do I know this? Because he is moving me towards my predestination. We need to be this way to help our brothers to be able to do the same so they can move towards their destiny. And there's no reason for men to block out that opportunity for our young men to be able to see a model. I know when they come up to me and they say, hey, OG, you know, oh, I got to step my game up. And I kind of chuckle because, you know, they let me know I'm getting old now. I'm just teasing. But at the end of the day, it there's a level of respect. There's a level of respect. It's street credit. It's street credit. But at the end of the day, it gives me the opportunity to give them the real credit, that 800 score. Give them where they got that perfect mature credit in life. They don't have to worry about looking over their shoulder. They don't have to worry about somebody coming to snatch it up because they got something that's real. And I'm learning every day as I'm maturing and growing. And as I said, I don't hold no titles. I'm just trying to share what little bit I know. If I can save one brother, I've done well. I imagine when Paul was working with Timothy and he told him, stir up your gift and go forward. And he went forward. I can imagine when Jesus was working with the 12 men and they went forward and looked and Peter come back and he made him his rock. He saw his potential, not his flaws that would stifle him, but he looked at the potential to grow him and mature him. This is what we need to do. Why? Because Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good thing he planned for us long ago. So this brings conclusion to this series. Again, you can check these out in the archives, but again, this is just a piece, and I'm just a student trying to serve and getting ready to lead. And I want other men to do the same. As I was telling someone the other day, I said, imagine if you had 10 people and I had 10 people and we were doing whatever project and you brought your 10, and that's 20. And if I brought my 10, you got 20. What could we build? And if every man is connected to 10 more men, what could we build? See, I had this vision. One time I was talking with a major player who was a minister, major player. And I said, you imagine this, that if your 5,000 seated people went into the neighborhood and they saw you every week, what would these men and young boys do? It'd be mind-blowing. At first, they would talk all the negative. But once they saw the continuity, a change would come, especially when we're doing it in love. So again, as always, we need to make sure that people get saved. So we need